This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Before you left off, one always forgets that. One always fools oneself into thinking, doesn't matter, I'll skip one shiur, I'll catch it up, and I'll be back to normal the next shiur. Doesn't work like that. Skip one shiur, you've broken a whole routine, and you've broken a whole line of thinking, and you've broken a whole process of development, and it's not the same. You're starting from scratch afterwards. David Miller spoke about a Gemara this morning, and I have given a shiur on that Gemara before. I don't remember if it was 1 or 2 years ago. Was it one? It was last year. And I want to work on that Gemara again. Particularly, I want to answer the stira between that Gemara and the Medrash. I think in that shiur last year I brought the Medrash, but I don't think we answered it. Answered the difficulty between the Gemara and the Medrash. Let's first have a look at the Medrash, and then we'll have a look at the Gemara. Vayaz Bezalel es ha'orah, and Bezalel made the orah. That's the pasuk on which the Medrash comments. The Medrash brings the following pasuk. Hadol dechtiv, this is what is meant by the pasuk in Mishle. Tein lechochom beyeche kam oid. Give to a chochom, and he will become yet wiser. And the Medrash says, ze Bezalel, this is referring to Bezalel. Ato Moitse, you find, B'shosh Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Moshe, Asay HaMishkan, when Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe, build the Mishkan, Bo V'Omar LeBetzalel, he came and he said it over to Betzalel, build the Mishkan. Omar Le, said Betzalel, Mahu HaMishkan Hazeh, what exactly is this Mishkan you want me to build? Omar Le, he said, Sheyashre HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinoso B'Seifer U'melamed LeYisrael Torah. This is in order that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring his Shechino, his presence, to rest in its midst, and thereby teach the Bnei Yisrael Torah. Omar Le Bezalel, so said Bezalel, V'Heichein HaTorah Nitenes. And this Torah which the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to teach from the Mishkan, where is it going to be? Where is the Torah going to sit? Amalei said to him, Mishon Oisim, is a Mishkan and Oisim Horon. That's a good question. Once we've made the Mishkan, we're going to make an Oron, especially for the Torah. We're going to make an Ok. Amalei Rabbeinu Moshe, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Kloido Shel Torah Bekach. That's not covered at Torah. And while we're building the Mishkan, where's the Torah going to be? Eloan Oisim Horon, let us immediately make an Oron, so we can put the Torah into the Oron. And afterwards we'll build a Mishkan. That is why the Oren is called by the name of Bezalel. Shenehemar, as it says, Vayas Bezalel es ha'orin, and Bezalel made the Oren. Only with the Oren does it use Bezalel's name. In all the others, it starts as we learned in last night's Pasuk, Vayasu chol chacham lev, and all the wise people, the men of wise heart, made this and they, this also, some this they did by Yas, and he made this and by Yas, Hamishim Karsis over, and by Yas, Yurius, he made, all the time he made, it doesn't say who. Comes to the Orim, and for the first time it says, by Yas, Bezalel is Orim, Atzishitim, Bezalel made the Orim, Atzishitim. Says the Medrash, because it was Bezalel who perceived the need for starting with the Orim. That's the Medrash. So what does the Medrash say? That Moshe told him to build a Mishkan, and he started with the Oren. The Gemara says the opposite. Amar Rabbi Yenason, Bezalel Hashem Chochmoso Nikra. Bezalel is called that because of his wisdom. V'shor she'omal HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, when Hashem said to Moshe, Lech emale li Bezalel, go and tell Bezalel, Asei li Mishkan Oren v'Kelim, make for me a Mishkan, an Oren and Kelim. Holach Moshe v'hofach Moshe went and he turned it around. V'omar lo yase orin v'chelim u'mishkan, and he said, make an orin, kelim u'mishkan. The order is very important. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, build a mishkan, and the Oren and Kelim. And Moshe, in repeating it to Bezalel, so says, build the Mishkan and Kelim, build the Oren and Kelim, and the Mishkan. Amar lo, so Bezalel says, Moshe Rabbeinu min hago shelo elam adam b'nei bayis v'chakech machnis l'seichi Kelim. The way of the world is that a person first builds the house and then puts Kelim inside. V'ata omer aseili Oren v'kelim u'mishkan. And you tell me to build an Oren and Kelim and then the Mishkan, Kelim shani yosel eichan achnisom. Where am I going to put the Kelim? Shema kach omar lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam perhaps say to you, I say Mishkan, Oren v'kelim? Didn't he perhaps tell you the other way around to make a Mishkan, Oren and Kelim? Amalu said, Moshe Rabbeinu Shema b'tzeil kel ha-yusol b'yodata. Surely you've been in the shadow of God and you know. That's how else could you know? And last year what we discussed really was what Moshe's Havamina was and what Bezalel changed about it. Altogether, Bezalel's question is a very strange question. Good, so he was going to make the Oren first. So he was going to make the Mishkan first. And if it would have been Moshe's way, that we would have made the Kelim first, what was the intention in any case? Everything was made before the Mishkan was actually assembled. All the parts were made separately. And at the end it was put together. So what difference does it make which you make first? It says, Bezalel, where's the Oren going to go if we don't have a Mishkan for it? The answer is, we're going to have a Mishkan for it, but the Mishkan is going to be made later on. That's all, which in any case is the way it's done. And nothing's going to be put inside anything until the whole job is complete. As we see in next week's Sedra, they bring to Moshe all the pieces, the Oren and the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach and the whole Mishkan. They bring it to him, all the pieces, and then he puts the Mishkan in and puts the Oren inside. So where's the Oren been all this time while they were busy building? So in any case, the Oren has stood outside until the whole job is complete. So what's Bezalel worried about? So just in the Gemara itself, we have a difficulty understanding Bezalel's objection to the way Moshe phrased the Tzivu. Moshe said, build an Oren and a Mishkan. Ask Bezalel, how can I build an Oren before a Mishkan? A person builds a house and then puts the furniture inside. So Moshe should have answered, you're right, we won't put it in the house. We will build the Mishkan and only put the Oren. And secondly, the conflict between the Gemara and the Medrash. The Medrash said exactly the opposite. Moshe came along and said, build a Mishkan. Bezalel said, what is the Mishkan for? Answers Moshe, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring his Shechinah there and teach Torah. Ask Bezalel, and where is the Torah going to be kept? Answers, Moshe, it will be kept in the Oren. In that case, it's Bezalel. We must make the Oren first, not the Mishkan. So according to the Medrash, the Oren was made first. And according to the Gemara, the Mishkan was made first. And both say that Moshe instructed him the other way around. So it will be easy to say there's a machlokes, the two views. The Gemara takes one line, the Medrash takes another line, but we don't like doing that if it's not necessary. And more important is, what is the origin of all this confusion? What is the problem here exactly? It's quite clear, it would appear, that Bezalel made the Mishkan first. It starts off saying, the beginning of Revi, the pasuk we learned last night, Bayazu kol chacham lev b'yisam lochis ha-mishkan ese yiriyas sheish morsot chiz v'agamu b'tala shoni kruvi masik chishiv also yiso. And they made the tapestries. It's the first thing mentioned. And it's given, all the dimensions are given. And then they made the lawyers and so on. Next, Bayat Yirias Izi. Next, they made, and they joined it together. Then, Bayat is Akroshim, they made the beams. So it goes down. And how they put it together, and there were 8 beams here, and this, etc. Bayat Brichiat Shitim. Bayat is Aparoiches. Bayat Mosach Lepesachoil. All these things. And then, and later on, he makes the kapiris, and later on, vayas is ashulchan, and later on, vayas is hamenero, and later on, vayas neiruseh, the candles of the menero, the holders, then vayas is mizbach haktiris, then vayas is mizbach ha'ilo, the one mizbach, and then the other mizbach, and then vayas is hakiyo, then they made the urn from which they used the water, vayas is hachote, and then the yard. It's clear what order was made. What's all the confusion about? Clearly, Bezalel made the Mishkan first, and then the Oren, and then the Kelim, which is the order that the Gemara assumes. The Medrash seems to go against the Pshat and the Chumash. The Medrash said that Bezalel came along and said, what kind of business is this? First we must make an Oren, If the Torah would not cover that Torah, we'd be busy building a Mishkan, and the Torah would have nowhere to stay in the meanwhile. We've got to build an Oren first. But he didn't build the Oren first. Where does the Mishkan, where does the Medrash get that from? The answer is, there's something peculiar here. That is the fact that the Bezalel's name is used only in relation to the Oren. Everything else is on the general third person. He made. Comes to the Oren, it says Vayas Bezalel. Grammatically, that's wrong. Any school child knows that you first put the proper noun, and then when you repeat and repeat and repeat, you refer to him as he did this and he did this and he did this. First you say, Oren, Bezalel made, then you should start with the Mishkan. Bezalel made the Mishkan, and then he made the Mizbeach, and then he made the Oren, and then he made the Shulchan, and then he made the Mizbeach. Then you can say he. But the time that you use the proper noun has to be the first time. And so the Medrash questions, possibly, the order is not chronological, which happens sometimes in the Torah. In Mugdam Umucha B'Torah. It's not necessarily so that the order is chronological. We can see from the wording that the order is such that the Oren was made first. And that's where the Medrash starts from. The Oren was made first. If the Oren was made first, why doesn't it record it chronologically? So here we see that there are really two things happening simultaneously. You've got two different themes playing along in different directions and relating to one another. On the one hand, there's a story of the order being the Oroin and then the Mishkan, the Oroin and the Kelim and then the Mishkan. And on the other hand, there's a chronology of the Mishkan first and then the Oroin. So it's almost looking at two pictures. Imagine that it was filmed. You've got two different videos. One, you see Oroin starting with the Oroin and building the Kelim and then the Mizbeach and then the Mishkan. And another one, you see Oroin starting with the Mishkan and then building the Oroin and the Kelim. And then you superimpose the two on top of one another. That's what we've got in front of us. Two different chronologies superimposed on top of one another. And this is the cause of all the conflict and all the question. What was made first? We have to ask another question. What difference does it make what was made first? Why is this so important? It occupies the Gemara, it occupies the Midrashim. Why is it so important? At the end we're told the order in which it was put inside. Next week's Seder, we tell the details of how it was brought into the Mishkan. There we know. Is it that important to know which was manufactured first? We have to analyze whether, in fact, there is a conflict between the Gemara and the Medrash. Let's look at the Medrash again. Tein lechochom beyechkam oid, ze betzalel, give to a wise man and he will be even wiser. When the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe, make a Mishkan. Bo v'omali Bezalel, he came and told it to Bezalel, omali mahu ha-mishkan hazeh. So Bezalel said, what is the nature of this Mishkan? Omali sheyashri HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechinoso b'soichoy, umelamed liYisrael Torah. It's so that the Ribbono Shel Olam will be mashre shechino into the Mishkan and teach Torah there. Omele Bezalel v'heichan ha-Torah nitiyos, where is the Torah going to be? Omele mishan o'isim, es ha-mishkan o'isim ha-oren, when we finish the Mishkan, we'll make an oren. Omele Rabbeinu Moshe, en kvedo shel Torah bekach, that's not the kovod ha-Torah, elo an-o'isim ha-oren, v'achar kach ha-mishkan, we will first make the oren and then the Mishkan. That's what the Medrash says. So there's no question that the Medrash takes it that the oren was built first. Because of the wording, v'yaz Bezalel es ha-oren atzei shittim, Bezalel made the Oren out of Atzei Shittim. That's the only time his name is mentioned. That's what he made first. Everything else is then repeated in the general third person because that followed on the first action. The first action was the Oren. What then about the Gemara? Let's look at the Gemara again. Omar Rabbi Yenison, Bezalel Hashem Koch Moso Nikra. Bezalel was called thus because of his wisdom. When Hashem said to Moshe, Lech emoli li Bezalel atzeli mishkan oren v'kelim, go and tell Bezalel to make me an a Mishkan, an Orin and Kelim. Holach Moshe, Moshe went. The Hofach, and he turned it around. The Omali, and he said to him, Asay Orin, the Kelim and Mishkan. Make an Orin, Kelim, the ark and the utensils, and then the Mishkan. Omali, Moshe Rabbeinu, min Hogoy Shalaylon, Odom Bene Bais, Vachakach Machnis, Lesefi Kelim. The Minag Arilom is that you first build the house, and then you put Kelim into it. The Atzorimir Asayli, Orin, the Kelim and Mishkan. And Yusa must first make and Orin and Kelim, and then the Mishkan. Kelim Shani Yosef Lehechan Achnisan. Where will I put the Kelim that I make? Shema Kach Omer L'Chakadosh Baruch Hu. I'll say Mishkan Orin the Kelim. Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam said to you thus: make a Mishkan Orin and Kelim. The other way around. Omer L'Shemi B'Tzel Kelim Yisrael. Must have been in the shadow of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't say in this Gemara that he made the Orin first. All it says is, the discussion here is what the Ribbono Shel Olam told you. What I'm going to do, that's not what the Gemara deals with. So that we find, in fact, that the Gemara and the Medrash are dealing with two different subjects. The Medrash is dealing with the facts. What was made first? Was the Orin made first, or was the Mishkan made first? The Gemara is dealing with Bezalel's ability to perceive that Moshe had repeated the tzivui to him in an inaccurate form. That's all. And he corrects Moshe, and he says to Moshe, that can't be what the Ribbono Shel Olam told you to do, to tell me. The Ribbono Shel Olam must have told you to make it that, he must have told you first Mishkan and then Orin and Kelim. That's how it must have been. And Moshe acknowledges. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu turn it around? Moshe acknowledges, the Ribbono Shel Olam told me, Mishkan, Orin and Kelim. And when I told you, I said Orin, Kelim and Mishkan. The answer we find in the Midrash. Because the fact is, the Oren had to be made first. And Moshe was telling the Talal how to do it practically. You start with the Oren. Don't forget about what the Ribbono Shel Olam told me. I'm telling you how to do it. First the Oren, and the Kelim, and then the Mishkan. Says the Talal, you don't have to tell me what to make first. I can work that out myself, what to make first. I'm a Chocham. I'm not an idiot. I want to know from you what the Ribbono Shel Olam told you. You don't have to give me plans. I can work out what comes first. How am I going to work it out? Tell me, Moshe. What is the purpose of the Mishkan? Leave a bit of discovery to me. Leave a bit of longness to me. Let me learn the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam tell you? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing he told me is build a Mishkan. Says Bezalel, stop there. Just tell it to me the way you heard it. Word by word. Let's analyze it word for word. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to you, tell Bezalel to build a Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, please explain to me, what is a Mishkan? Let's take it step by step, start with fundamentals. Answers Moshe Rabbeinu, a Mishkan is a place where the Ribbono Shel Olam brings Shechina, and thereby teaches Torah to Yisrael. Oh, says Bezalel, so the Torah is also going to be in this Mishkan. It's going to house the Torah, is that correct? Says Moshe, it's correct. Where is it going to be housed? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to build an Oren afterwards. Says Bezalel, we're not going to build an Oren afterwards. I can work out myself that the Oren has to be built first. Why? Because the Oren is the purpose of the whole Mishkan. You told me that the Mishkan is a place where the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence is going to be brought to teach Torah. So the whole thing revolves around Torah. So the first thing with COVID is, the first thing you start is making the house for the Torah. When the community sees us building, they must see that the first thing we start is with the Torah. Don't start with extraneous things. But, says Bezalel, I can work that out myself. You don't have to tell me the order. I've worked out myself that we've got to start with the Oren. That's very nice, but we now have the problem, so why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give him the other way around? And Bezalel, so correct is it that it has to be given the other way around, that Bezalel perceives the mistake. And says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that can't be what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. although we are going to build the Oren first, he could not have told it to you in that order. He must have told you build Mishkan, Oren and Kelim, not Oren and Kelim and Mishkan. Despite the fact that that is the correct order, we're going to make the Oren first. But that can't be what the Ribbono Shel Olam told you. He says, well, should be right. He didn't tell it to me that way. And we have in this Gemara a most unbelievable principle, which one has to understand and live by. It's Mefurish in the Gemara. How does Bezalel know that the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't have said, build an Oren and then a Mishkan? How does he know such a thing? Says Bezalel, Min Hago Shel Olam. I don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu. What you heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam, I wasn't there. I don't know what you heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I just know one thing. I'm a simple builder. I know you first build the building and then you put the kelim inside. It doesn't make sense to me. What you're telling me doesn't make sense. And here we have a major conflict, not between the Gemara and the Medrash. But we have the conflict and understanding. On the one hand, the Tzalel is going to make the Oren first. On the other hand, he is 100% convinced that the order in the Tzivui, the order in the instruction given by the Ribbono Shel Olam, was first Mishkan and then Oren. How does he know this? I mentioned last night that the Mishkan was not just the Bediyevit. Since they had to travel a lot, the Mishkan had to be portable. That wasn't the idea. The idea was rather that the first Beis HaMikdash had to be built that way. The first Beis HaMikdash had to be collapsible. Not because they were traveling. Even if they weren't traveling, it had to be collapsible. Why? There's something very unique about the way the Mishkan was built, which could not be applied to the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mishkan, we could use two different orders, because they're two different acts of building. The first act of building is the construction of each of the pieces. You've got to make the Mishkan in its collapsed form. You've got to make the Menorah, you've got to make the Oren, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, the Kiyur, all these things have to be made. In what order am I going to manufacture them? And as they were manufactured, they were put into storage. The first order was the order of manufacture. And the second order was, now we're ready. In what order are we going to construct? Are we first going to put up the Mishkan? Are we going to first put the Oren? Once the Mishkan is up, what are we going to bring in first? What are we going to bring in second? What will we bring in third? And we learned from the Lady Shir a short while ago the differences between the way the Kelim were brought into the Mishkan and the way they were brought into the Beis HaMikdash. That's another discussion. There are two different opportunities to initiate Seder, to initiate an order. And the orders don't have to be the same. If a permanent building was put up, you have to put the building first. It's silly to first make the furniture and then store it and then make a building. It's the wrong way around. You would first make the building and then as you make the pieces, you can bring them straight in. But since you're not doing it that way, since it's all collapsible in any case, it doesn't make any difference. You make it and you're going to store it all, and when everything's finished, you bring it all together. And here we see two different systems of Seder, two different systems of order. The first is, what do we start building first? The very first act of construction, is that the walls of the Mishkan or is that the Oren? That first nail that's knocked, that first hammer blow, what are we making? Says Bezalel, based on the Medrash, without any question, it's going to be the Oren. The Oren is the thing we're going to involve ourselves first in the construction of the Oren. Second Seder, how are we going to assemble? We're going to assemble the Mishkan first. Why? Because that's Minhagui Shalolam. That's the way the world operates. Who cares the way the world operates? We're dealing with a Mishkan, we're dealing with miraculous things here, but that doesn't work the way the world operates. Where has one seen such a thing? A Mishkan that magically gets erected, no human being, it's too heavy to erect. And Moshe, all on his own, an old man, all on his own, puts it up, magically, miraculously. Is that Minhagui Shel Olam? And the cloud of glory comes and sits there, and it appears and disappears, and the Ribbono Shel Olam speaks there, sacrifices are brought. Is that Minhagui Shel Olam? Is that the way the world normally runs? Why all of a sudden is Bezalel so concerned about Minhagui Shel Olam? This whole thing is unnatural. Why must you build it a natural way? what you do first, what you start, is an expression of your value system. A person who first goes for a jog and then comes to Davni puts his body before his soul. There's no question about it. That's what he does. The Rebbeinu Shlom is waiting and he's busy running. Not running to shul. He's running around the block, running nowhere. Where are you running? What are you running about? You're still early, shul hasn't started. What are you running about? No, he says, I'm running for exercise. Exercise? What about your neshama? You've got a half an hour before davening. The Hasidim HaRishonim used to sit for an hour before davening to get their minds attuned. And you're energetic enough and self-disciplined enough to get up half an hour before davening, to be ready half an hour before davening. And you're running. Why aren't you sitting, learning a bit of musa, getting your talis and tefillin on, getting your mind into the right framework? Well, you're wasting an opportunity like this, running. No, he says, you know, healthy mind makes a healthy body makes a healthy mind. Okay, that's what he believes. So he runs. But there's another kind of seder. After the davening, he goes off to work. And I say to him, 1 second, what about your Gemara shir? He says, that's this evening, 6 o'clock is the Gemara shir. And I say, what's more important, your work or your Gemara? He says, my Gemara is more important than my work. I say, so why are you going to work now and you'll learn Gemara at 6 o'clock? Learn now and go to work at 6 o'clock this evening. Where's your system of values? Why does the first statement make sense and the second statement doesn't make sense? If I'll stop the jogger and I'll say, where's your sense of values? The Rebbeinu Shlom's waiting for you and you're running at this time of the morning. That a normal human being can understand such a claim. Whether he wants to accept it or not is his own business, but he can't say it's illogical. But if I take that same person and I say, what's this business? 8 o'clock you're going to work and only tonight you're going to learn. Learn now and go to work tonight. He'll look at me as if I'm crazy and he's fully entitled to look at me that way. Because that's not minhag shelo. It's not the way the world operates. I'll give you another example. The din is that one should try and build one sukkah the day after Yom Kippur. The next day the sukkah should try and be complete. The Shulchan Aruch says, why? Because mitzvah habo liyot chal tach mitzeno. Mitzvah comes your way, don't delay it. Who knows what it's tomorrow. Today you can build the sukkah, build it today, and try and finish it today. But a little bit earlier in the Shulchan Aruch says that medaktikim, people who are careful, start building their sukkah immediately mitzvah Yom Kippur. Even before they eat. What does it mean? So when's the right time? Mitzvah Yom Kippur or the next day? What must you do first? Break your fast or build your sukkah? The answer is, you must start building your sukkah before you break your fast. Then you break your fast, and then tomorrow you finish the sukkah. You have a night's sleep, and tomorrow you finish the sukkah. Maybe we've got exactly the same example. A man sits down after Yom Kippur, and he tucks into a meal, and he's eating and enjoying himself. I come and say, 1 minute. You know, sukkah is in a few days' time. Yom Kippur is just over. Your whole tshuva process is over. You're now relaxed. And you eating when you've got an opportunity to put up a sukkah, is your tummy more important to you than the sukkah? He says, you're right. Didn't think of it. Starts eating and immediately starts putting up his sukkah. Now go to somebody else. And he's about to faint. He is white and he's weak. Completely dehydrated and washed out, and he is busy knocking the nails into the sukkah. I say, Rabbi Yid, have you broken your fast yet? What are you doing here? He says, what do you mean break my fast? What's more important, my tummy or the sukkah? It's not minhag shalayla. You need koach to build the sukkah. You need strength. You've been fasting the whole day. Break your fast, have something to eat, have a good night's sleep, get up tomorrow morning and build your sukkah. He says, well, what do you mean? 1 minute you tell me that I must build my sukkah first, and then you tell me I must break my fast first. What is it? The answer is there are two different siddurim. One is a question of what you start first. The other is the question of what you finish first, what you continue with. And they operate on different systems. What you start is an expression of your sense of values. What do I do first? There are 10 things I have to do. Which do I start first? The most important is what you start first. But in terms of ordering them through the day, there you've got to work out matters of urgency, not just importance. It's more urgent to eat than it is to build the sukkah. It's more important to build the sukkah than it is to eat. It's more urgent to build the mishkan than to build the oren. Because the oren needs the mishkan. it's more important to build the Mishkan, to build the Yoram. The Yoram is more important. The Mishkan is there to serve the Yoram. And therefore it's more important to build the Yoram, but it's more urgent to build the Mishkan. Bezalel has a simple solution. I will build the Yoram first, so that my first involvement will be with the Yoram, just like starting the Sukkah before I eat after Yom Kippur. But when it comes to assembling it, I'll assemble the Mishkan first, the Mishkan will go first, and then the Yoram will come inside. What's the importance of this, you say? When it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam giving Moshe the instruction of the order of things, one would think, since this is now the philosophy of it all, one would expect the Ribbono Shel Olam to mention the Orin first. Because says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not here to tell you what to build first, what to build second, the engineers will work that out. But Tzalel will know what to build first. So when I give you the Tzivui, surely I should tell you, first comes the Orin, and then, because that's the most important, and then the Kelim, and then the Mishkan. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam uses Minhogo Shel Olam. He tells it to us the way an ordinary Barabbas would want it done. First, the Mishkan, as he says, a person builds the house. First he builds the house, then he builds puts the furniture inside, not the other way around. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, in giving the Tzivui, opts for the normal rather than the philosophical. Where there's a conflict between them. In theory, the Oren should come first. In practice, the Mishkan should come first. And that's very important, because the concept of Seder is only a concept which exists in this world. It's a material concept. It's not a spiritual concept. In God's world up there, there's no Seder, because there's no time. So everything can be done simultaneously. A moment upstairs is eternal. It's not 1 minute and then another minute. There is no time. The sun doesn't rise, the sun doesn't set. One thing doesn't come before another. So where is the world of Seder? Here is the world of Seder. Our world. You can't do two things simultaneously. You've got to choose first this, then that. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, therefore the rules of Seder have to be learned from engineers and from balabatim and from farmers. That's where you learn the rules of Seder. The axioms I'll teach you. The axioms of Aloch and Moshe Mishinai. But the order that you learn from a balabos, that you learn from down there, not from up here. And this has very wide ramifications. Firstly, it has ramifications in the area of learning Torah. I mentioned to you last night that America is a big place. And as a consequence, it has more of everything. Everything is, there's more of and everything is bigger. There is more foolishness than anywhere in the world. There is more wickedness than anywhere in the world. There is more greatness than anywhere in the world. There is more beauty than anywhere else in the world. There is more talent than anywhere else in the world. Whatever you've got more there than anywhere else. Just by virtue of its magnitude and its numbers. And I said to you, the same as in Torah, the community there is bigger than anywhere else. There's a bigger Jewish community there than in Eretz Israel. There's a bigger Torah community there than in Eretz Israel. There's nowhere in the world that has that quantity. And consequently, as I said last night, if you have in the Torah world 0.01% of people who are great Talmidei Chachomim and fine people in Lamdonim, you'll find more such people in America than anywhere else, because 0.01% of the population of 6 million is more than 0.01% of the population of 2 million. It's as simple as that. But you'll also find more of the other. And one is exposed today enormously all over the world to hocus pocus, to nonsense, to people saying things in the name of terror which are poshut nonsensical. They're absurd. In drush, people giving a drosha or a dvar Torah. In halacha, asking the halacha, it's meshugah. Absolutely stupid. And you say, what's gone wrong? Where is it going wrong? The answer is that they've forgotten this rule. That there are two parts to learning. There are two parts to Torah. There is the axiomatic part. There are certain principles which the Ribbono Shel Olam taught Moshe on Sinai. And whether you understand those principles or you don't, the starting point is the acceptance of those principles. You have to try and understand them. You have to analyze them. But you can't select. And in your reasoning, use only the ones you understand. You've got to understand, just like mathematics, you can't leave out one axiom. Because then everything you'll do there afterwards will be wrong. The Torah has certain axioms and you have to use those. You'll come along and ask me why. I might be able to give you a bit of a reason. I might be able to say, I don't know why. There's a Mishnah here. Can't you? That's what the Mishnah says. We've got to work on that. There's no argument about that. We know that is a fact. Now let's go further. The problem is that luxury of being able to blame everything on the Ribbono Shel Olam extends into the area of reasoning as well. And people start thinking that they don't have to understand reasoning either. It all comes from Hashem on Sinai. If I don't have to understand the axiom, why, who am I to question the reasoning? I'm just a simple person, and this fellow's got such a long beard. He's telling me that he must be right. And if it sounds nonsensical to me, I must be the idiot. There are areas where the thinking human being is entitled to question and obligated to question, and there are areas where he is not entitled to question and he is forbidden to question. To question in a querying, doubtful way. In the philosophical area, the Orin is the center of the Mishkan. That's an axiom. Bezalel asks Moshe, I need you to tell me, what is the Mishkan? I can't work that out mathematically. I can't use my engineering to ask that question, to answer that question. You, Moshe, must tell me what the Mishkan is. Once you've taught me what the Mishkan is, I'll decide how to build it, what to build first. Because for that we use simple mathematics and engineering. We use Balabatish logic for that. I don't need you for that. Tell me, what is the Mishkan? Says the Medrash. But Moshe answers him, the Mishkan is the place where the Shekhinah will come and teach Torah. Where will the Torah be? It will be in an Oren. The Torah will be in an Oren, and we've still got to make the Oren. In that case, we'll make the Oren first. But that can't be what the Ribbono Shel Olam told you. He couldn't have told you the order Oren and then Mishkan. He must have told you Mishkan and then Oren. Because when the Torah gives a Seder, when it gives an order, we are the Balabatim on Seder. The Seder must fit in. The Seder must couple in to the Seder which exists on this world here. We don't have to learn order from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't have order up there. He doesn't need order up there. Seder we learn from down here and we work it out. And therefore, if I tell you something, if I'm giving you a shir, and I tell you A, I say now, A, I learned that from my rabbi, and that's what they taught me. There's nothing much you can do about questioning. You can try and understand it, explain it a little bit better. That's where we start. And if I say, and therefore B, now you're fully entitled to say 1 minute. A, I'm prepared to accept. But the therefore B doesn't make any sense at all to me. And I'll say to you, well, you know, you haven't been learning Torah very long. That's why it doesn't make sense to you. And you say, oh, understand. Okay, let's go on. So therefore see. Therefore see. Where's logic? Therefore see. I haven't been learning Torah, but I've been learning logic. And this is illogical. It's illogical to you because you don't understand these things. It doesn't fit in with your logic. Oh, good. And you accept that too. And so you go on accepting one hocus-pocus absurdity after another. Until one comes to conclusions which are wrong, which are crooked, distorted, and one lives them. A yeshiva in New York was found just while I was there, crooking the income tax. It was made very clear that the Rosh Yeshivas knew nothing about it. It was done by the secretaries, the administrators. It was widely accepted and widely publicized. But the administrators also from Yid, also a Rov. And when he was asked by the New York Times, why did you do it? He said, what do you mean, why did we do it? The yeshiva needed money. It's left like that in the New York Times. No exclamation marks, no double question marks. Who's to question these rabbis? That's the way they work it. It's illogical. That you're allowed to steal because you need money. And are you allowed to murder when you need money as well? I'm sure any balabos can ask that question. You don't have to be a Talmid Chacham to ask that question. An axiom you have to accept. But Seder, for that Bezalel is entitled to challenge Moshe. The Seder doesn't sound right. It's not orderly. It's true I'm going to make the Oren first, but that's for a philosophic reason. But the order is not right. When the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the order, he must have given you the order of Minhagei Shel Olam, the way the world operates. And that's not the way the world operates. The world operates Mishkan, Mishkan, Oren, Kelim, that's the way it should have been said. So Moshe, you're right. That's exactly the way the Ribbono Shel Olam said it. The tendency is to become overwhelmed by the urgency of results. yeshiva needs money. Needs money, so get money. Whatever way you need to get money, get money. The main thing is the end. Why? Because the end is l'shem shemayim. The yeshiva needs money not to line anybody's pockets. The yeshiva needs money not to buy fancy motor cars. The yeshiva needs money to support poor families and to enable people to learn Torah. And that tends to blind one completely. Oh, in that case, then anything's all right. That's not minhag shalom. You don't start off saying, I need a tree outside here. A tree must be 20 foot high. So you start looking around. You go to a nursery and you start looking around for things that are 20 foot high. It doesn't work that way. You need a tree. You plant a sapling. And you work and you work and you work. That's minhag shalom. And after years and years, the sapling becomes a tree. That's the way you do it. You start small, you get bigger. When you start big, you've got to question yourself. What is my intention? This is not minhag shalom. This is not the way one works. Once you start a business, you start with the resources you've got. And you build, and you grow, and you develop. A person who starts with more resources than he's got, it's not minhag shalom. There's something odd. And any bank manager is entitled to ask the man, what are you doing? I don't like what I see. You don't like what you see. How long have you been in my kind of business, Mr. Bank Manager? I've been in this business for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. Mr. Bank Manager, you don't have to be in that kind of business. You just have to be a straight human being to know that you're operating on more than you've got. Can't work. Spiritual heights one tries to achieve. One sees an end. One listens to a Motzei Shabbos shiur and one hears what kind of tzaddik one's meant to be, and one wants to jump there straight away. It's not minhag shalom. It takes years and years and years of hard work. So one tries, and one puts on black coats, and one grows long beards, and one does everything that one can to make oneself feel that one's getting there, one has this image of where one's supposed to be. It's not minhag shalom. That's sick. It's not the way to do it. Step by step. First a little bit, then a little bit more, then a little bit more. It grows, it comes. One thing develops after another. This is a world of Seder. The principle of this world is that when you do A, B comes by itself. You've got B, C comes by itself. But if you're going to stand at minus A and work towards Z, you won't even get to A. You'll go completely on a cockeyed course. And Hoga Shalom is you say Z. What leads to Z? Why? What leads to Y? X. And so you go down, and what leads to B? A. Therefore, I start with A. That's minhag shaloylam. That's the way the world operates. And any simple balabos knows that. And it operates that way in Torah, and it operates that way in mitzvahs, and it operates that way in everything that one thinks and everything that one does. One has to be extremely critical in oneself and in others of Seder. It doesn't have to be critical always of the actions. There it depends on the authority of the person. If a person has authority, and after giving you the axiom, he extends the axioms in an irrational way, you are entitled and obligated to question and to reject. This is not minhag shalom. That's not logical. That's not the way one works. What's more important, the seed or the soil? Surely the seed. The seed has within it all the potential of the plant. Soil merely contains the nourishment. It holds the nourishment. The soil itself is nothing. It just holds the plant up and creates a place for the roots to go and to get its nourishment. So if the seed is more important, let me first plant the seed and then I'll prepare the soil afterwards. That's not minhag shalom. And we get impatient. We want the plant already. The season is coming, we want the garden to be looking nice, or we want the grain in the field to be produced. We're impatient. I'll say no, it's wrong, it's not straight. And what happens if the businessman who comes to me for my investment is a man of far greater experience in business than me? And what happens if he's a man of greater brilliance than me? What happens if it's the greatest economist in the world that comes and says, give me your life savings and I'm going to invest it in this plan? And you say, how is it going to work? Tell me. He says, right. He says, the tax rate for you is X. Good. An axiom. I assume you know what you're talking about. I'm prepared to believe you. The tax rate next is going to be Y. The financial situation is, I understand. Inflation is going to be this plus that. All that I'm prepared to accept. You there. Therefore, he says, if you do this and this will happen and you do this and this will happen. I understand. To me, that's cuckoo. What is your responsibility then to say, But who am I to argue with you, such a magnificent cuckoo like you? Who should I? I should argue. Take my money, do with it as you please. Nobody would do that. And your axiom that I accept, your logic aids me, and their responsibility to my family requires that I do savings and such. And that's Asher Tidushonu the mitzvahs of the tzivonu. Do it like you do business. Use your ordinary balabatisha seichel. Not to question axioms, that we can't do, but to question logic, to question intellectual rationalism. A thing has to be straight. It has to be correct. It has to be sound. And if it isn't, leave it alone. Don't get involved. It doesn't matter where it comes from and what it is. And with that, one finds a lot more vibrancy in one's thinking, a lot more vibrancy in one's learning. One finds life not just in one's learning, but in everything that one comes across. You can stop any American and discuss the South African situation with him, and I'm sure the Americans could do the same with us on their situation, simply because that's what we know a little bit more about, and ask him something, and he'll answer you. And you'll see he's taking it from a newspaper that he read that morning, or more likely from a television program that he saw the evening before. And the axioms, good, he won't argue. He assumes that the axioms that the television program gave him are true. South Africa is in chaos, so he believes that, good. He saw it with his own eyes, so it must be right. Okay. But when you start reasoning, so what are the options? Let's assume you're right. What are the options? Then he starts talking like an idiot, like a half-wit. But he's a professor, so this is a brilliant man you're talking. Now it's your choice. Do you want to shrivel up in front of him because he's a big cuckoo? Or you are prepared to say, even a big cuckoo is not as big as me because I'm not a cuckoo. To be able to say, as far as I can see, what you're saying is nonsensical. Because B doesn't follow on A, and C doesn't follow on B. Even if your A is correct, and I'm not going to argue that, you saw it on television, let's say it's correct. But how do you get from A to B? And in 2 minutes he agrees with you. Didn't think, you're right. Didn't think, that's how they put it, that's how they presented it. If we're prepared to go through our lives like that, accepting everything we're told and everything we're... then we deserve what's coming to us. If we're prepared to stand up and to analyze and to take our own decisions and responsibility for our own lives. This works, by the way, in the family situation as well. Sometimes a man will do a most stupid thing, and when I sit with him and work out, why are you doing it? My wife wants it. Your wife might be worked out with her. Have you sat with her to analyze the rationalism of it all? Is it logical? Your wife wants it, therefore it must be. Or vice versa, your husband wants it, therefore it must be. Does that mean it's right because he wants it? Who is he? What special authority does he have? He's telling you it's a halacha. That's an axiom, you see, you can't argue with it. But if there's reasoning involved, no answer to the reasoning, I don't understand it, but he told me, therefore I accept it. What do you mean you don't understand it? If you don't understand it, what right have you got to abdicate your human responsibility of rejecting that which you don't understand, when it comes to Seder, when it comes to the order of things, not to the philosophy of things, and not to value systems. Value systems we take from our Torah. But when it comes to the order, to reasoning, to deducing, to developing one idea from another, they, each individual, has to use the gifts and the talents which the Ribbono Shel Olam has given him to reach the conclusions which are those that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to act upon.